Good afternoon, and welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Delia Benz-King. The Eco News Report is an exclusive feature of KHSU, brought to you by the North Coast Environmental Center, publisher of our regional environmental newspaper, Eco News. Don't forget, you can find this show and other KHSU public affairs shows on the audio archives page at khsu.org. Today, my guest is Calla Allison, the director of the Marine Protected Area Collaborative Network, and we're going to be talking all about the collaborative network and how it got started and what's in store for the future. Welcome, Calla Allison, to the Eco News Report. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So, since you're in town, you're a busy lady always traveling up and down the state. Thought it'd be nice to have you on the show today to talk a little about the MPA, or Marine Protected Area Collaborative Network. Could you just give us a little background about yourself and what that is?
Sure. Well, the Collaborative Network is a statewide network of 14 collaboratives that are organized around localized management of the marine protected areas. And so what that means is we bring together all the diverse stakeholders, all the local area experts in a particular county. So we bring researchers together with nonprofit organizations, with environmental groups, with fishing associations, both commercial and recreational, with tribal members, agency staff, both local, city, county, state, federal, parks, aquaria, ocean businesses. We bring all those voices together and we talk about the best way to communicate about marine protected areas, about monitoring marine protected areas, gaining compliance for marine protected areas in a way that makes sense for that particular county. So we're very county specific, we're very regional specific, and we really take a localized approach to resource management.
Yeah, so you were very, this is kind of your baby. You kind of created this yourself almost. I mean, all those groups came together, of course, but can you talk a little bit about how the collaborative network was established and why it was established?
Sure. Yeah, so this actually started in Orange County, because we had a lot of different organizations and agencies doing tribal education programs, and we realized we are all giving different messages. So we thought it'd be good to bring us all together and make sure we were consistent in the messages we were giving. And then we realized that we could share a lot of resources and be a lot more effective in a lot of areas if we came together and met regularly and went after joint funding and joint projects, and started building success, having signs for, I guess it ended up being 8 different agencies that all said the same thing. So as you travel across the county, you saw the same sign, you saw the same message, and we realized we're being super effective. So taking that model after the marine protected areas went into effect, I thought it'd be good to replicate that up and down the state. So we'd have a similar collaborative for each of the 15 coastal counties. So I went ahead and basically traveled from county to county and was reached out to local area experts and said, who needs to be at the table? Who should be included? How can we get them involved? And then with the support of the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Ocean Protection Council and some funding for Resources Legacy Fund, we were able to pull this together and get a small level of funding for each of the 14 collaboratives, where they're able to come up with a project together and start building some success and see the benefits of sharing resources and working collaboratively. So now we're at this point where we have these 14 collaboratives. They already have accomplished their local projects, and now they're thinking about what to do next, how to connect with each other on a regional level, on a statewide level, and how to connect better with the state. So we're getting to the point where we're getting a lot more organized, and the state wants to officially recognize all the great work being conducted by the local experts. So it's super, super exciting time, and we're actually getting together at the end of the month for a collaborative charter workshop to figure out how to memorialize that more officially and have the state go into a high-level agreement with the collaborative network, just acknowledging the value of the local input and expertise. So it's a lot of travel. I can say that I've been to almost all of the 124 MPAs. I think I'm at 100, the Channel Islands. I still need to get out to a majority of those. But it's been a great experience. It's a beautiful coastline. The state of California is amazing. And the people are so great to work with. I love the diversity of people I get to work with. And just, I learn something new every time I go to a collaborative meeting. And it's just really fun, fun work.
Yeah, let's talk about the diversity really quick. Like, so how does that change across the state, not only the people, but the different areas, the different habitats that you've gone to visit?
Yeah, it's really interesting because whenever I try to make generalizations, they change.
Putting you on the spot a little bit.
It's always a good lesson to not make generalizations, but there's a reason why we have 14 collaboratives. You can't use a cookie cutter approach. And I think this was a really powerful message to give to the state and the state agencies where they, sure, I know that the consistency is important, but you have to take into account local culture and, you know, just how unique each area is. You're not going to have the same, you know, tide pool education policy in Humboldt that you are in Orange County. Just the impact is entirely different. And you just can't correlate the two. You're going to have different ways of doing things. You're going to have different fisheries. You're going to have, you know, we're not going to be talking about the growth of spiny lobster up here in Humboldt. You know, there's not the Garibaldi. You know, we are crab and salmon, and there's just different focuses depending on where you are. So that's always good to take into account. With that said, when you take a step back and you look at the whole network, we're starting to see things move from one part of the state to another ecologically. And that's been really interesting too. We do a statewide BioBlitz where all 14 collaboratives participate in the Citizen Science Project, where using their smartphones, they go out in the tide pools and they take pictures of intertidal animals during the same week of the year, and we get a snapshot picture of what's happening in their intertidal for all the MPAs in California. And what was interesting in the first year we did this is that there, it actually in the Central Coast and moving up into the North Coast, it looked like somebody had just thrown pink confetti into the tide pools because there were so many Hopkins rose nudibranchs, which are tiny, tiny little fluorescent pink, it looks like bubble gum, spiky little bubble gum. And those are a Southern California, generally a Southern California species of nudibranch. So to see them all moving up to the Central Coast and those numbers was really interesting. And just having that whole statewide approach to figuring out, wow, we're seeing this trend. Where did we see it? Okay, we started mostly in San Luis Obispo and then went all the way up to Sonoma, which generally isn't its range, but we wouldn't have been able to have that picture that quickly without this statewide project using the MPA collaboratives and their members. So that was exciting and showed not just that there's differences in regions, but those differences are changing and we're able to see the changes.
Right. Because there's not a fence between each region. Yeah. That's why it's so important to have the whole network. And that's so cool that that was done by using just your average everyday people too.
Yes. And California Academy of Sciences took the lead for organizing that. And that's something they want to repeat every year using the collaboratives. And it's a real fun, fun project to get out there. So if anyone's interested in participating, we're going to have it this year at the end of June as well. There's going to be a few sites in Humboldt.
Yeah. Yeah. Last year we did Trinidad and Samoa Beach with Friends of the Dunes. So this year we're going to shoot for 3, I think, per county. So
and maybe get some divers offshore.
Yeah. Potentially. Yeah. That'd be great. What are some other projects that collaboratives have done?
Well, up here in Humboldt and working with the Del Norte Collaborative as well, they did these great videos trying to just educate about what marine protected areas are. I think that's the biggest problem that we're having is, you know, we shorten it to MPAs. And one, what do MPAs stand for? Marine protected areas. And what are they? What do they do? What are the associated regulations? Where are they? I mean, there's a lot of questions that come up, and it's just trying to explain that these are very similar to underwater parks. They're spaced a certain distance apart. The idea is, you know, really to help sustain the health of the entire coastline. That's why there's a network of 124 of them. You know, it's getting that message out. It's actually a big task. And so the Humboldt and Del Norte Collaboratives worked on putting together videos that talked about what marine protected areas are, using the youth and having kids educate and getting their perspectives on what marine protected areas are. Also talking about the cultural element of marine protected areas and the long historical use of the marine environment by our local tribes. And so that was another video. And also the science behind how we continue to monitor and conduct science in marine protected areas, because these are supposed to be adaptively managed. So we need to assess whether they're working or not. So we had to conduct a baseline, and then there's a long-term monitoring plan to make sure that they're working. So those are some of the projects. It's just really getting the word out, educating kids, educating the general public, educating fishermen about where they can and cannot go, what they can and cannot do, so they're aware and so they don't get in trouble just for going out and fishing. So there's a lot of work we can do together, because the best way to do that education really needs to come from the collaborative. So the fishermen are going to be the best able to develop education tools for fishermen, because they're going to say, this makes sense. We would appreciate a map with the lines of the MPAs and what the regulations are that is clear to understand. It would be great if there was some type of app that shows where you are in relation. You know, they're going to be able to say what works best for them. Teachers are going to be able to say the best tools to use in their classroom or in the field. You know, enforcement officers are going to be, you know, we would really like to have this tool to be able to hand out to people to educate them so we don't always have to write them a ticket. So we like to have all those people in the room when we do anything to make sure we get their perspective, so it's the most effective outreach and whatever project we decide to do is the most effective version we can, and has community support too.
So can anyone be a part of these collaboratives?
Yes, they're not closed at all. Generally, people are representing some type of organization or association or constituent group, but they're definitely open to the public too, that's just interested or feels like, you know, they are a local area expert, which most everybody is, who just spends time in their environment and near the coast and near the ocean. And we all have ties to our communities, and that makes us local area experts. And so a big part of the collaborative, at least from my perspective, is showing the value of that, which is bringing people together where they actually start listening to each other and understanding the value of different perspectives and different levels of expertise, and figures out a way to leverage those different perspectives for local benefit and for mutual benefit. And I think that's something that we tend to be losing, and we need to remember how to do, is how to work together on a local level and participate with each other to make our community better and our resources better. So that's my priority in putting these collaboratives together, is really making sure they're as diverse as possible and that everyone feels they have a voice and they're participating for a productive end that's really mutually beneficial.
Definitely. And as you mentioned, there's going to be a statewide workshop going on at the end of this month, kind of bring that local and state levels together so that those two can kind of better communicate with each other. Can you explain a little bit more about what that workshop is going to look like?
Yeah.
The goals of it.
So the collaboratives are doing a great job communicating internally with their collaborative members, which is exciting. But, you know, they need to connect to each other, too, and to the state agencies. I mean, I think it's important that the state agencies realize what the collaborators are doing. And then there's communication between the decision makers in Sacramento or the managers in Sacramento and all the local area experts. So we're trying to formalize that communication process more, and hopefully this charter workshop will help us do that so that there's open lines of communication between the local county collaboratives and the state agencies. So hopefully this charter will be a high-level agreement between representatives of California Fish and Wildlife, state parks, state lands, the Coastal Commission, the sanctuaries, NOAA Sanctuary, National Park Service, a lot of different high-level partners, and then the local collaboratives, so we can really formalize that communication. So it's all very exciting because they're recognizing that, oh, this is a great tool that we have, these resources on the ground that know how to implement these projects probably better than we do sitting in Sacramento, because they're there in their community and they see it every day. And so I think that's actually a big progressive move forward.
Yeah, it makes sense, right? For everyone on many levels, it makes sense. Do you know of some other upcoming things that the collaboratives will be working on? We mentioned the BioBlitz coming up again this year. Any other big projects to look out for?
Well, right now the collaboratives getting together and thinking about what they want to do next. There's some great ideas out there. One's an idea about making teacher boxes, and this actually came from Fish and Wildlife outreach team, that having each collaborative have a specialized teacher box that can be checked out by members of the collaborative to do MPA outreach and education. So that might be a fun project to work on and get some input from kids and teachers and educators. And then we try to do regular programs, like regular enforcement trainings, where we get the enforcement officers from allied agencies that might not be Fish and Wildlife wardens or Fish and Wildlife officers, but have the authority to cite for violations, or at least to educate on violations, and making sure that they're trained so we're all on the same page. So that's something we hope to continue in the future. And yeah, just connecting so we can start, you know, sharing resources. We're learning from each other's video projects and docent trainings, signage. There's another round of state-funded signage for MPA signs, and potentially a informational kiosk to go at harbor launch ramps, so you can get information about marine protected areas and fisheries regulations all in one spot as you're launching your boat. So we're just trying to make it as easy as possible for people to know the regulations and to be educated about marine protected areas at the same time. And you know, something that the make it so it's something that the community is interested in and feels like they should be a part of stewarding. And I mean, I think that's important for everybody, no matter how you feel about marine protected areas. You know, we have them here, and we need to make sure that they're working for the good of everybody, so that they're producing more and bigger fish, or they're sustaining the health of, you know, the marine environment here. And you know, a big part of that is making sure people know about it, that they're complying with the regulations, that they're being monitored correctly, and then we'll be able to determine whether they're actually working or not. And hopefully they will be, but that it's going to take a team effort. It's going to take all of our involvement and, you know, the local stewardship, really.
Definitely. I'm glad you mentioned the local stewardship. I mean, I think that's why a lot of people are involved in collaboratives or this line of work, because they enjoy going out to these places so much, whether it be recreational or fishing or scientific reasons. What is your connection to the coast? Your personal, I know you have a special talent that people might know about and might not know about.
Let's see, what are you asking there?
How you got that eye tattoo going?
Oh, man. So, yes, I've spent a lot of time in the ocean off California. Actually, it's funny. I read somewhere that people pick occupations that are related to their name. Have you heard this?
No.
I read it somewhere. I have to find the original article. And so my name's Calla, originally Calafia, which is how California got its name, after a Portuguese novel written about Queen Calafia, and the land that she was in charge of was California. So my mom heard the myth when she was little and decided she was going to name her daughter Calafia. And now I'm stuck traveling up and down the state of California because apparently I have to be good to my name. And so I've actually had, you know, a great time. I spent 16 years as an ocean lifeguard across the whole state, starting mostly in Santa Cruz and then working all the way south in New Zealand as well, actually. And I was actually a marine protection officer in the city of Laguna Beach as well, but always spent a lot of time surfing and body surfing and lifeguarding and doing whatever I could in the ocean. So it's been really a great pleasure working with all these ocean experts up and down the coast, and whenever I can, getting in and seeing different parts of the state. Luckily, I haven't been able, haven't had to get in to rescue anybody, so I haven't been, didn't have to use that particular skill, which is good. But I was able to go in and map the boundaries of the MPAs and just really get out in the field and experience it all. So,
do you have a MPA in particular that you really enjoy the most going to, stands out in your mind? I mean, they're all so magnificent.
Try to play favorites. No favorite children.
You can pick a favorite in Humboldt and across the state if you want. Because they're obviously the best up here.
Yes. Okay. I think the best part about the whole network is they're all so different. And that's just been really fun to see. You know, there's so many that are estuaries where you're really going bird watching and just incredibly beautiful. And then you have really the sandy shorelines and go down south, and they have all the little coves and mostly rocky intertidal to the big, you know, real bay oriented MPAs, and even the ones that are way offshore in, you know, the Monterey Bay in the middle of the SoCal Canyon. It's just, they're all very different, and I've been to most of them many different times, and it's also really cool to see how they change just in the season or with the weather or just in a day. I mean, this is California, so it could be raining in the morning and beautiful in the afternoon, or vice versa.
Kind of like today. Yeah. Like
hot,
it changed
cold,
again.
Hot, cold. So yeah, I don't even know if I could pick a favorite. I mean, I guess going back to true to my name, the whole state is pretty incredible, and the whole network is great. I love that we have a statewide network of 124. I mean, I think this is really a jewel for California, something we should be proud of. And it's just about also being proud of how we steward it and making sure that all the voices are represented in that process. And that includes voices that might have been initially against it, making sure their voices are heard too, and they're a part of the process. You know, no one should be excluded from this, and everybody should have a vested interest in making sure that they work. And hopefully eventually being really, really, really proud of a successful MPA network.
For sure. Well, I think you should be proud of the work you've done so far. Definitely.
Thanks, getting Delia. Everyone together. I also have really good coaches that help run
Who
the
might
conference.
That be?
I'm not going to mention any names, but they might be sitting right here next to me being the interviewer. No, it actually is really, I do have to say that it's, you know, a big part is having local leadership that can understand, you know, the unique culture of each area and concerns with particular members and being able to navigate politics of a local community. I mean, the local leadership is so important. So good job, Julia.
Thanks.
And your co-chair.
Yes, yes. Not alone. So if people want to learn more about the collaborative network, where might they find some information?
We have a website, mpacollaborative.org, and there's a page for each county, for each collaborative that has information. And we hope to have the Humboldt and Del Norte videos up on that very soon, and information about memberships and about upcoming meetings and events. So that's one way. And, you know, we always connect with our state partners too. Ocean Protection Council is really taking the lead, along with Department of Fish and Wildlife. And their websites have a lot of information about MPAs. So definitely Department of Fish and Wildlife has some great information, and they're working on having information for each MPA that's very thorough as well. And they're looking to get local input from the collaboratives on the information to share that's important for all the MPAs in Humboldt. So that's another great use of local area expertise and the collaboratives for an exciting new project.
Definitely. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add before we sign off today?
Just thanks for having me. I always look forward to coming up here for a number of reasons, but it's great to reconnect with all the members, and I always have my camera for all the photo ops because it's always beautiful. It's always changing. And I love just getting out there and just seeing what Humboldt County has to offer. It's beautiful up here, and everyone's always very welcoming and kind. And yeah, thanks for having me.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today, and safe travels on your way back downstate and then up again and all over.
This month is my record. 10 collaborative meetings in 1 month is definitely a record for me. So it's been a fun travel month.
All right. Well, we will catch up with you again sometime. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been the Eco News Report. My name is Delia Benz-King, and I've been your host for the past half hour. Today, my guest was Cal Allison, who is the director of the Marine Protected Area Collaborative Network. And we were talking all about marine protected areas and how the collaborative network got started and what's in store for it in the future. For more information, you can go to mpacollaborative.org. If you'd like to replay this interview or share it with others, you can go to the public affairs page on the KHSU website at khsu.org, where these programs are archived after they air. Previous shows are also posted on the North Coast Environmental Center's website at yournec.org. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call KHSU's listener comment line at 826-6089. The Eco News Report is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University, in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Many thanks to Fred McLaughlin for engineering. Join us again for the next Eco News Report.